Watches. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome.
It is We Are the Watchers, episode 22. Two for two.
Two for 22.
We are swiftly approaching the 30 mark now.
Oh, boy.
Let's not promise anything.
No. That's still 2 months.
Yeah. That goes really quickly, though.
It will.
We are in the middle of April.
Of what?
April.
Oh.
That's just me trying to be posh.
Continental.
Yes, yeah, super continental. Mm. Wow, we've got so much to talk about today. Of course, we'll try and make the Walking Dead stuff in the latter part of the episode, as we always do. The quiz is always at the end. We've got news, lots of things we've independently watched. Let's get into it.
Sure.
What have you been watching?
Oh, look, I've been watching a ton of stuff. One thing that I'll cover off quickly, and it's kind of half news, half watch, is there's a Guardians of the Galaxy animated series, which has been, I've really enjoyed previous seasons. It's their fifth block at the moment. I don't know if it's seasons or what, because it's kind of children's animation type thing.
I don't know what you would call that.
No, but anyway, the fifth one's kicked off and they're good fun. They've got different voice actors but kind of doing the same sorts of voices, but they get the rights for tons of great music, so it's always really music related.
Hmm.
Anyway, the first episode of the new season was all around Mission Breakout, which is the ride that was opened middle of last year at Disney Hollywood Studios, California Adventure.
Oh, yes.
It's their sister park.
You've been there. I haven't been there.
And they have a ride there, the Tower of Terror, which has traditionally been based on Twilight Zone, and it was re-themed, re-skinned and everything around Guardians of the Galaxy.
This is stuff they do now, don't they? They sort of re-skin things. Oh, not re-skin them, but...
revamp.
Yeah, revamp them.
Yes, and as great as the, I loved Twilight Zone and Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
It's not a property that's as beloved by young people and stuff these days, so it makes more sense to switch it over. And I think it's a bit of a litmus test, toe in the water, for more Marvel rides.
It makes sense to try and get Marvel stuff into amusement parks.
It does. It does. Look, we could go into a whole thing. There's all these rights and stuff before Marvel was bought by Disney. Marvel has a deal with Universal Studios, but only on the east coast of America. So in Florida, Universal Studios there actually has a Marvel Land.
Oh, okay.
But it's none of the characters that are in the Avengers.
Right.
And there's a whole legal battle going on at the moment as to who can actually use the word Marvel in theme parks. So it may just have to be Superhero Zone or something like that for Disney.
They'll get around it.
Anyway, the first episode of the new season was all about Mission Breakout, and they basically retold the story of the ride but through animated episode. It was very good fun, and I thought it was particularly fitting because I watched that on the same day that the equivalent of the Oscars for the theme park industry awards were announced.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, and this ride won Best Revamp of the Year, or, you know, Best Reskinned rejuvenation of a previous project, which I think is pretty cool.
And also means that a lot of people, is now on their radar, and they'll probably be planning trips to go and try it out.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
It sounds like awesome fun. Everyone on the ride, they've got the original voice actors from the film back doing all their parts, and it's set around the collector who was Benicio del Toro in the first one.
Yep.
He has stolen the Guardians and split them up in his tower for adding to a museum collection, and Rocket breaks out through the vents and you help Rocket collect the rest of them.
That sounds fun.
Yes.
Even as an adult, that sounds like an enjoyable thing to partake in. Watch. Yeah.
So that was some craziness. On the other scale of craziness, I watched a show called Engineering Catastrophes.
How enormous are these engineering catastrophes?
Well, they weren't as catastrophic. They weren't as catastrophic as I was expecting. I thought it was going to be lots of booms, crashes and stuff, and it was more like, well, this bridge in Chile is the first ever opening drawbridge, and they've accidentally put one side of the drawbridge upside down.
Uh-oh.
So it's a lot more whoops than, oh, shit.
Yeah, right. So no one's going to end up dead from it.
Well, potentially in 30 years, if things is left and abandoned, then it might be. I don't think I'll be watching more of the show, but it was nice to see something that I thought it was going to be like, can you believe they built this building and then it fell down and then 9/11 conspiracies, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was not that.
It was a bit more low-key.
Yes, it was a bit of a puff piece. And then, look, the other one I will talk about is Crashing. I finally caught some of season two, which is Pete Holmes. He's a comedian. It's his show. It's a kind of serious comedy, if that makes sense. He plays, to know a bit about the show, you need to know his real life. He had a late night show for a while there, mm-hmm. and he was doing quite well. Some things happened in his personal life that he has been open and talking about, of discovering his wife cheating on him okay. and this sort of stuff. And it's about trying to get back into the world. So this show, season one, started with him finding out that his wife was sleeping with someone else, and by the end of the season, he's living in his own garage.
Right.
And it's called Crashing because most episodes are him spending time with a different comedian sleeping on their couch, crashing at their place.
Yeah, right.
And
what a concept.
It's a really clever concept. I don't enjoy the show every time. It really does depend who the special guest is or who he's staying with, because if they're obnoxious, then the episode is fucking hard to watch.
Yeah, right.
There's one episode in the first season with TJ Miller, and I don't mind a bit of TJ Miller stuff, but he and Pete
don't work. Just,
oh my God, it was hard to watch. Really? Anyway, this first episode of season two, he spends time, the other part you need to know about him is he's a Christian, mm-hmm. and he talks about that quite openly, but he spends time with Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller,
yep.
who is one of the most famous atheists alive, and spending this time with Penn basically causes him to question his entire worldview, and he starts drinking for the first time, goes out, has a one-night stand. Things get crazy.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
No, it sounds like it's one to definitely to catch if you can.
Yeah, I think if you enjoy stand-up, if yep. you're into that sort of look behind the curtain, then it's a really interesting watch, but it's not an easy watch by any stretch.
Look, if we can sort of stay on the stand-up tangent, I saw that Sarah Silverman's talk show at Hulu, I Love You, America, is being renewed, and it will be back in time for the midterm elections over in the US,
cool.
which I think is in November.
Yep.
So they've ordered 11 more episodes of the show, and it will return early September. Mm. And what I thought was interesting and didn't realize is that it's produced by Funny or Die, and that also Will Ferrell is one of the executive directors.
Well, Will's kind of made it his mission to get people voting. He and Billy Eichner from Billy on the Street, and who's also on the most recent season of American Horror Story, those two have formed a small company or whatever you call it, called Rock the Vote, or Get Out and Rock the Vote, or something like that. So it's kind of what P. Diddy was doing years ago, but it's about getting people to vote in the midterm election.
Mm.
And I saw them post a thing this morning that they had an event a few nights ago and got 4,000 people to sign up to vote.
So yeah, that's great.
That's a really good start for their first thing. So
because I don't know about the midterms. I'm actually not too sure about the midterms in the US, but I know that the actual elections, the once every 4 years, I assume it's the same. It's not like in Australia where it's a Saturday, got all day to do it. It's kind of easy to do early voting if you need to. They do it midweek, so people have to try and find time.
Yeah, they make it as difficult.
Or after work as possible.
It's not mandatory. Mm-mm. So they put up so many hoops to get through. Generally, so older people who don't have a lot on their plate will go and vote and keep the Conservatives in power, keep the structure as things are.
Status quo.
Walk out of school, kids. Do it. Go and vote.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got to get a detention for it, just imagine it's going to be exactly like the Breakfast Club.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Throw that baloney at that sculpture in the...
Yeah. Do your part. Get rid of that orange fuck. That's not from Breakfast Club. I'm
no.
just talking about Trump.
Yes.
This won't get him out, or
no.
you know, but it's about undermining the power within his party and stuff like that, because the Republicans have all control, and yet he still hasn't passed any legislature.
It's sort of like starting. It's starting the ball rolling for the proper big elections,
I think. So we can get The Rock in.
Yeah, The Rock 2020.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
What else have you been watching?
Well, funny that I mentioned The Rock, because I went and saw Rampage.
Ooh, now I've seen that advertised everywhere. Give us a quick synopsis.
In five words, big, loud, dumb, and fun.
Everything you want on an easy weekend
movie.
Yeah,
it's not a great movie, but it is pretty good fun. If you enjoy giant monsters at all,
yep.
this will scratch itches.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out with, he's going to fight a big gorilla and there's a giant wolf. Well, the stuff that's causing these animals to mutate and grow is also messing with their DNA to give them other attributes. So the wolf grows like squirrel glider wings and the wolf can fly because of course it can.
And how's The Rock? And is he as charming as ever?
Oh, he does some great smouldering.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he bring out the smile every now and then, though?
Less of it. There is definite moments. The film is bookended with Charming Rock.
Okay, that's good.
He doesn't get to be as smiley and relaxed throughout because
it sounds stressful.
He's very concerned about his good friend, the albino gorilla George, growing large and being upset.
Okay, yeah, poor George. Yeah. No spoilers, but hopefully The Rock is smiling at the end because George is okay.
It might be the most Rock career that any Rock character has had. He's a former SAS specialist turned primologist.
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
That is his action hero-y, blockbustery, crazy movie storyline as I think
it's Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's that Harvard professor mixed with wild archaeologist.
But a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a few differing views of Pacific Rim 2. Some people say it's just stupid, which it looks.
Yep.
And other people say it's actually a lot of fun.
Sure. Oh, look, I hated the first one because it had the worst Australian accents ever put on film.
Okay. This has got Finn, though, from Star Wars.
That's not a selling point
for me. Fair enough. I think he gets to do an English accent in it, which he doesn't get to do in Star Wars for some reason.
Are you sure he does? Because he's playing Idris Elba's son, and Idris had to do
a... Oh, Idris is being American, is he?
I think so. Today we are cancelling the apocalypse.
Look, really quickly, I've not watched them, but there's a couple of new Luther episodes out
there. Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm. Only a couple, I think.
You only do three at a time.
There's not many. No. Such a great show, though. Yeah. If you've not jumped on board, watch Luther. It won't take you long, and you'll get hooked. Alice, one of my favourite characters of all time.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's just crazy, dangerous, lovable. Will she kill everyone? I don't know, but we love her because she smiles. It's like The Rock. Just put Alice and The Rock in something together.
Sure.
Winning.
I'd be all for that.
Absolutely.
I saw one other thing in the cinemas that really surprised me with the quality.
Yes?
Peter Rabbit.
How is it?
I took my daughter to see it. And she loved it so much that she went and saw it with my parents a few days later.
Seriously?
Yeah. It was filmed in Centennial Park here in Sydney, and it's made by Animal Logic, again in Sydney.
Interesting.
And there's a fair few Aussie actors pop up there.
With an Aussie accent?
Well, I say Aussie, or New Zealand.
Okay.
Broad accents.
Okay.
But you've got Sam Neill, almost unrecognisable in a giant white beard,
really?
Doing a very thick Scottish accent.
Wow.
Yes.
I wonder how the Scots will rate the accent.
I'm sure they'll be fine with it. It sounded pretty legit.
Okay.
It just, you know, old Farmer McGregor type thing. but yeah, there was lots of Margot Robbie voices of Rabbit, Elizabeth Debicki, another Aussie. Yeah, I was really impressed.
And because it's Aussie, let's go out there and
support.
Yeah, watch it.
Yeah.
And even if you're not Aussie. Go and watch it.
Yeah.
Support.
You almost everybody had some Peter Rabbit when they were little. It's one of those classics that crosses across a lot of countries and
yeah, cultures. Absolutely. Everybody knows Peter Rabbit.
And there's a few moments that are very cleverly work in the old animation style that it was hand-drawn in.
Oh, lovely.
So it pays a lot of tribute to that sort of stuff and finds a very logical way to tie that into the story.
And even as an adult, you're watching it, enjoying it,
yeah.
Or are you watching it because you're with a child? You can watch it as an adult?
I reckon you could watch it as an adult without. It's not quite... It's got some very subversive jokes hidden in there for the parents, which these films should have.
Yeah, they should these days,
It's not on the level of Shrek. It's not. They're not cultural reference jokes.
Right.
But there's just some very clever... There's a pig.
Yeah.
And the pig gets some fantastic funny lines.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, look out for the pig if you go and... watch Peter Rabbit. What else did you watch?
All right. So the one I've been excited to talk about this all week. So the Legends of Tomorrow finale finally happened.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they only do 16 episodes a year. But this show is so bullshit crazy. Every time I think they can't ramp it up any further, they do. So last week's episode, the big bad, his daughter, turned into a demon, a time demon named Malice. And in order to fight Malice, six of the legends each had a totem bearing, it was basically Captain Planet style. Of
he's our
Earth,
hero.
Wind, fire, water, death, this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, all season long, they went back in time and someone accidentally left behind a Tickle Me Elmo style thing, or like basically a Furby called Bebo.
Okay.
And Bebo has come back a lot throughout the season. It was found by some Vikings and they began worshipping him as a god.
Of course.
All this sort of stuff. So this episode was called The Good, the Bad and the Cuddly. And when
great title.
Oh, it was so
That's
good.
So good. I got
when they're coming
for
to
it.
The final fight with this demon, they've all got to put their totems together and think of the purest thing they can. And one of the guys had just ingested a ton of LSD trying to have a commune with some spirits to learn some secrets.
Yeah.
It hadn't worn off. So when he got told to think of something pure, of course, Ghostbusters style, he thought of Bebo. And so they make a giant, like 80-foot tall Furby to fight a demon.
That's so good.
And then it was like a Matrix style fight.
Oh, amazing.
All in CG for 2.5-3 minutes. There's a point where this giant fluffy toy like does the Morpheus hands of come on, let's fight.
Yep.
Bebo needs cuddles. And Bebo defeats the season long villain by like suplexing the demon into the air, jumping up, grabbing it and hugging it into the ground from 2 kilometers up.
Now that's a wrestling movie we need to see.
It just exploded into a blue, blue love heart shaped cloud. It was. Oh,
you must
my
have
God.
Just been rolling on the floor laughing. That is hilarious.
I was in tears crying.
That is so funny.
Lynn was giving me a lot of shit. She's like, "You're really into this." I'm like, "It's the most ridiculous." Like, I don't know how they convince people to put up all the money to do the CGIs for that.
Obviously working though.
And for people on board, everyone's been wrapped with it. People that weren't so on board with it hated it, and I completely respect if you don't buy into the stupidity of the world that they've built, then that could seem frivolous.
Quite polarizing.
But, oh my God, it was so funny.
That's great. So now you have to wait till next year.
Yeah, I think they'll come back maybe January next year.
Okay.
Because they don't do full 22, 24 episode seasons. Mm-hmm. They do 16.
Mm-hmm.
And they normally share space with, I think, Supergirl this year. They're sharing space with.
Okay. Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Look, speaking of, I don't know, Supergirl and, well, she's not really, Supergirl's a superhero, but Catwoman's not really a superhero. She's more a comic character.
Yeah, she's a vigilante.
Yeah, well, Halle Berry thinks that Catwoman deserved another goddamn chance. She was at the GLAAD Awards, I think it was last week, and she said, you know, that each story builds on the next. And what she was trying to say was, behind every Black Panther is a great black Catwoman. That's what she said. And she went on to sort of try and tie it all in. I think what she wants is to get in on the superhero DC Marvel franchise again.
Yeah, she had her shot and it went very poorly.
What was so bad, you remember she got the Razzie for it.
Yep.
And like Sandra Bullock, she actually appeared at the Razzie Awards, which I think are either the day before or
after the night
the
before
Oscars.
The Oscars.
Yeah.
So to try and shit on the Oscars.
So funny. I love that they have both appeared at both of them and won.
Oh, if you got nominated, you'd show up and make the most of it.
Yeah, don't sort of pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a different thing if you'd done a small indie film where you directed and starred or wrote or starred or whatever like that, where you actually had some ownership.
Yeah.
Whereas you watch Catwoman and there are moments where she's clearly phoning it in.
Okay.
And Catwoman and Black Panther are in different universes.
Of course they are. I don't know what she wants.
Recognition.
And let's be honest, who... Favorite Catwoman? Michelle Pfeiffer. Why are we even trying to remember Halle Berry was Catwoman at one point? I'd forgotten.
I'd even put Anne Hathaway above.
Wow. Actually, yeah, I would too. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
She just wants in on the money.
Go away, Halle Berry. You won an Oscar and cried. You don't get to have a go at superhero movies.
I've not seen her in anything for a while. Hey, one show that I dip in and out of, I'm not a religious watcher of it, but every time I watch it, I quite enjoy it. It gives you a chuckle. It makes you feel good.
Sure.
Gogglebox.
Okay, yeah. Gogglebox, UK or Australia?
I was watching Australia. Sure. I've seen a bit of both.
Yep.
But what I like about Gogglebox is that the shows that I either don't get around to watching or can't be bothered to watch, they watch it.
Sure.
And then I feel like I've got a general vibe of it.
Yep.
Things like perhaps maybe some of the more reality show stuff that I just am not that...
Various housewives.
Yeah, but yet a lot of people talk about them, you know, generally day to day.
Something called Backy?
Yes, Backy, that's what it is. That kind of stuff. They'll sit down and watch it. And then
you don't have to.
You don't have to. But another thing that I thought was funny about it was they always watch a movie. It's never a new one because it has to be on television.
Sure.
And I remember they watched, this is a while ago, well, not that, maybe about a month ago, they watched Muriel's Wedding. Now, some of them had never seen it before. Others had, but it had been so long that they'd forgotten the storyline, like me. Mm-hmm. I remember that it was kind of fun. I also remember that there were some depressing parts in it.
Yeah.
And I remembered what the depressing parts were. But as they watched it, the people who had this fond memory of it, like, this is a movie, this is hilarious, you'll really love it, to the person they're sitting next to, they haven't watched it. And then the depressing bits come in and they go, oh, I had no idea that I've blocked that out of my memory. And I wonder how often people do that, not just with movie shows, but with maybe books, TV shows, even possibly video games. They watch them, they enjoy them at the time, and then years go by and you're looking back at it and you just realize, I have no recollection about some of these main key storyline points.
Hell yeah.
Or even the problems with it sometime. And it reminds me of when I read Lord of the Rings for the second time.
Yep.
And the reason I did that's a hard slog. Those three books are pretty full on. Was because I didn't remember the majority of the story. And I'd only read it maybe 5 years beforehand, so it wasn't. But I must have either skim read it or just got so bogged down. If you remember Lord of the Rings, there was particularly the beginning of it. He would go into so much detail that you felt like you understood what every blade of grass looked like in that world.
Yes.
That I think my memory was just getting bogged down in that. And, you know, there were black riders and something, but I couldn't remember what actually happened. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, no, I really enjoyed this story, but I can't remember anything about it. And then when I went back and reread it, I'm like, oh, blades of grass again? This was what the problem was. I remember this.
What age were you when you read it the first time?
Because I was a teenager.
I think that might play into it as well.
You reckon?
Well, I've rewatched a lot of films from my youth with my daughter.
Yeah.
And some of them have really surprised me at how harrowing they can be at parts.
Really?
Or bits that I've just glossed over. You think about An American Tale with Fievel the Mouse. With the lens of childhood taken away, you realize it's about the struggle of immigrants and the loss of hope and this sort of stuff. And then The Land Before Time.
Yeah, The Land Before Time.
About separation anxiety and the death of role models.
Even Lion King.
Lion King, massively so. The weight of responsibility on one's shoulders and conforming to expectations. That's all this stuff that you just didn't really take on board as a child. Even fucking Home Alone.
The whole premise behind that
is horrifying.
Shockingly disturbing.
That his parents are so lax that they can just forget one child and not realize till hours later on a plane.
Hours.
And that he stays home and both decides to rig up attacks and defense systems against two thieves, at no point deciding that he should bring the cops.
No.
And also be really judgmental of the old man.
Super judgmental.
And that's one of those things that's the storyline that you really forget. But when you go back and watch it, it's like, oh, he was a shit to that old guy.
You just remember the charm. Yeah. I remember I had a friend, which surprisingly enough ended up being a storyline in Friends, completely unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
But she never watched the last half of Sound of Music. So for her, it was just all fun and games, lots of singing. There was no Nazi bit at the end where they had to run away.
Sure.
That didn't exist. And I remember Phoebe in Friends, they were having a discussion about Sound of Music, and she said that her parents would always turn it off there.
It seems fair enough,
yeah. But I wonder if kids only remember the bits that they liked. Maybe we all do. Maybe we all do.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Another thing that I watched that I've been meaning to check it out, just to see what it's like, but I had reservations because I'm not a big Star Trek person.
Sure.
But I was intrigued that Sasha from Walking Dead was in the new Star Trek Discovery. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, look, you know, it's sitting there. I'm just going to watch a couple of episodes and see how it is. I did struggle a bit because it's not my thing, and some of the makeup felt very cumbersome with the Klingons. They really look like they were struggling to even speak with the big head masks and the teeth, the fake teeth. Storyline seemed okay. I watched a couple of episodes. I probably won't go any further with it, though. I gave it a go. Yeah. But for me, Star Trek is not my thing because Star Wars is. I know people can do both. I can't.
Star Trek's a weird beast because not only is it you're either a Trekkie or a Star Wars fan, but then when you get into Trek, then there's who's your captain because there's been so many different iterations of
true.
It. And mine is Picard. Like, I grew up watching a lot of Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much interest in checking out Discovery.
Look, I remember going across the US backpacking with a friend, and she'll be listening to us right now because she listens. And she will know that she made me watch quite a lot of Star Trek. The one with Jane, the female captain. Brain's gone blank. But if you are shouting at
is that Voyager
at the phone,
or Deep Space? No, that's not Deep Space Nine.
Might be Voyager. Anyway, thank you for shouting out. But I can't hear you because I've already recorded it. But you know who the female captain was. I remember that, and it was okay, but we were watching a sort of late night as we'd finished doing whatever we were doing during that day in the US and coming back to the super cheap motel that we were in and sitting there and watching the episodes on television. But I wouldn't have ever actively gone and watched it myself.
Sure.
So I guess that's my only point of reference for that. Look, if you are a Star Trek fan, you've probably already watched Discovery.
Yes, the Star Trek fans that I know have watched it. Most of them have enjoyed plenty of it.
It looks great. Visually, it looks amazing.
And from what I understand, because it's set before the original series, there's a lot of shout-outs and setups of storylines that would go on to be important. I believe Harry Mudd appears.
See, I would have missed all of this. I wouldn't.
Was there an episode with Rainn Wilson from The Office? Did you see?
No,
that?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay.
No. Funnily enough, though, Clem Fandango from Toaster London is in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in it, which I thought was really funny. Good. I went, work. Oh, hang on a second, who's that guy? He obviously looks different.
Sure.
You know, not being in outer space.
Is he an alien
Tesla
or a human?
Human.
Does he have to press a button to talk?
He just presses buttons, it looks like. If we could go along the same outer space lines, we got an email from Josh. You can always email us or go onto Facebook, Instagram as well, if you like.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah. There's five words, maybe six. There are six words. Have you watched Lost in Space?
No.
I haven't yet.
I've watched the original.
I've seen bits and pieces of
the
original.
I've watched the Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, did you
film
watch that
from the
one?
Late 90s.
Well done. That's
Thank
impressive.
You. I had a crush on Lacey Chabert at the time.
So you were forced to?
No, I chose to.
Okay.
It wasn't good.
No.
But I saw it.
Well, this one is a series, and I'm going to check out the first couple of episodes.
Sure.
And get back to you next week.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah.
Let Josh know.
Let Josh know. What else did I watch? Did I watch anything else?
I watched one other thing.
Yes.
It was two things that I'll give a quick shout. One was Jim Jefferies, his show's back on.
Yeah.
The late night news political show and stuff, but he had an interview this week, and he normally does an interview with a politician or someone in the news, but he said one of the benefits of having your own show is that occasionally you get to meet your heroes, and so I'm having a sit-down chat with Noel Gallagher.
Ooh!
And the two very abrasive personalities definitely rubbed against each other.
Was it interesting watching? Or
it was
it
great. They became friends.
Yeah,
not
right.
To the point that they'll ever hang out, but just...
They were able to talk to each other.
Well, at one point, Jim says to him, he's like, it's amazing to get you here. I have to ask, why are you here? Why did you choose? And Noel says, do you want the real answer? Like, do you want the real answer, the honest truth, or do you want the showbiz answer? And he goes, oh, give me the real one. He goes, I'm filming at Jimmy Kimmel this afternoon, and I've got a few hours, and I thought I'd throw this guy who claims to know who I am a bone.
So good.
And that just set the tone perfectly for them. So that was well worth watching. The other one, it's a bit of an acquired taste, but if you're a Harry Potter fan, there was a special that came out late last year, and I don't know why I didn't get around to it now, but it's the History of Magic, and it's it was tying in with the British Library, I believe, putting on a great big exhibition about J.K. Rowling.
Ooh,
which
fascinating.
Is the first time they've ever done an exhibition on a still living author.
Amazing.
But it is using, you know, their archives. They've got something like 13 million artifacts or something like that. They went through 500-600 years of history and found where she had taken her inspiration for a lot of the characters. So some of the earliest references to phoenixes and just all the different mythical creatures.
Great.
And stuff like that, where the ideas of horcruxes have come from, of splitting one's soul and this sort of stuff. Hour-long episode,
Very, very interesting stuff.
Even if you're just a casual Harry Potter fan.
I think it was aimed more at non-Harry Potter fans than full-on Harry Potter fans, because a lot of it is just like, I know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But just in terms of relating it and showing J.K., like, that, you know, they were showing J.K. Rowling for the first time a lot of the stuff that would be on display linking, you know, of... Oh, I've forgotten what they're called, and I'm so angry at myself. The plant creatures that they pull out of the ground and they scream.
Oh yes, I know what they are, but I would never guess the name.
Mandrake. So the mandrakes, yes, and they show off sketches that have been done in the 16th century of what mandrakes might look like and stuff. So it was really interesting.
16th century.
Yeah, just really interesting stuff that, you know, she hasn't claimed to create a lot of this stuff, that she's put her own twist on and things, but just to see where that pervasive thought in human subconscious has continued for hundreds of years.
What was it called again?
Mandrake.
Mandrake.
Mm.
Might be my new favourite word.
It's pretty great.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Look, just really quickly, in the world of video games, still playing Far Cry 5.
As am I.
Doing, can't stop.
I just liberated the jail.
Yeah, you did.
So I've defeated John Seed.
Yep.
Be gone, John Seed. I got your keys and opened the bunker.
He's X'd off the map.
So now I'm moving into Faith's territory, dealing with the angels.
Oh, so you're going Faith, because I went other guy. Jacob?
Jacob up north. I don't know. I just the lure of taking on and then liberating a jail was far too strong for me to ignore.
Completely understand. So that's sort of all that's all I've been doing this week in terms of playing games. Although on my radar, and yours as well, because we mentioned it really quickly, was God of War's coming out.
Yes.
And one of the people that we kind of do some, you know, on Instagram, you may not know the person, but you like what they do.
Yeah, it's a bit of a connection.
And then they like your stuff. Yeah. So Janelle Amy.
Sure.
She does a bit of streaming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I was lucky enough to be sent the God of War press kit last week thanks to PlayStation. And holy crap, it's good. Now, I thought this bit was interesting. This is my first God of War game, so I can't compare it to previous ones. And I was worried that I would have no idea what's going on. But even to a newcomer of the series, which is what I would be, because I've watched people play them, but I've never played them myself. She was worried that she'd have no idea what was going on, but she had no trouble getting straight into it. She can't stop playing it. And even when she's not playing it, she's thinking about it. We've all had that problem before. So
it's not a complete reboot, but it's dropping him into a different realm, different planet, whatever. I don't know how
it's
you
all
figure.
Nordic
yes.
as opposed so, to sort of Greek mythology.
Yeah, it's always been Greek. And I loved the other games, but they were just smash 'em ups. You know, just continue on the story and beat God after God after God, whereas this is throwing him, it's putting the stranger in a strange land.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's got a son?
Yeah, coupling him up with a child that he has to care for.
I did hear somebody say it does get you in the feels.
Sure.
There's moments where, emotions go.
I believe they're both grieving.
Yes.
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 My one thing that I'm still trying to achieve on Far Cry 5.
Yes.
I'm trying to jump out of a plane, use a parachute, wingsuit at the right time to try and hijack another plane.
I have not even tried that yet.
This is why I never get very far in Grand Theft Auto.
Because you just do
I
that.
I just get distracted with, I wonder if I could park that bulldozer right in the back of that plane.
I might need to do that. Is it difficult? Is it an achievement? It'd have to be an achievement.
I'm sure it's an achievement, but it's... very difficult.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult.
There was one point where I had to back a ute or a truck into a trailer to attach a trailer to move it
into the bunker.
I'm so bad at doing that in games.
Sure.
And it reminds me of GTA, whenever I have to back a truck into a trailer, I'm crashing it, it's moving around, I get it wrong all the time. It's not my idea of fun.
No,
I can't do that kind of stuff.
Don't enjoy going in reverse at speed?
No, not really. But I have been enjoying in Far Cry 5 doing super stealthy stuff.
I have liberated myself and gone the other direction.
Really?
Normally I will sneak around for hours, but this time I've just been like, stuff it.
Get the plane?
Let's throw some bait over there. We'll get the plane flying overhead.
And you're
just
in and out.
Just have a bunch of distractions. And I've just been running. And like still doing plenty of sneaky takedowns and stuff, but just... trying to do things as quickly as possible rather than spending half an hour going around tagging, coming up with strategy. Just being like, I wonder what happens if I run in and punch both of those security alarms. Just make it so they can't call for anybody else.
Yeah. It's a good tactic.
It's been working.
I like the fact that it's a game that allows you to do it any way you want.
Yeah.
And still get the same outcome.
I'm going to go and check out this new Nintendo Lab stuff.
Can you explain what that is?
So it's for the Switch, and they are different cardboard constructions that you then set the Switch into, and it has interface that lets you operate things in a different manner.
Weird.
So you can use one that sets it up and uses a Joy-Con to make a fishing rod.
Oh, yeah.
For fishing games. There's robots. They're going to be releasing them plenty. I'm sure if it does well, they're going to rely on a lot more. But
yeah.
Yes, there's a mini piano, and you literally plug your Switch into that and it turns it into a piano.
So how does the cardboard, I don't understand.
It comes in flat pack and you've got to build it, and you just pop the parts out and build it. So
fun.
I don't know how sturdy and how long that stuff will last. Mm-hmm. It is interesting that they're marketing it towards under 10s.
Who will break it?
Who
really
will break
quickly.
It so quickly? So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I hope the best for them, because it's a very cool initiative trying to do something else, trying to teach a bit of coding.
Will you do some for yourself and then maybe some with your daughter? Or are you going to sort of steer clear of it?
I think we'll just look at it in the shop.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I've got enough peripherals and stuff floating around at home that, you know, I'm not going to play a fishing game much.
Fair enough.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1, you have been warned.
Should we get into The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I think we should.
It's a lot to get to. There were 2 episodes.
I set aside some time.
Me too. Did you back-to-back them?
With some stuff in between.
Yeah.
A palate cleanser.
Fair enough. Yeah, because it...
Had I known, though, the way that Fear started, I could have just continued.
It would have been a good back-to-back. Now, Fear really shocked me.
Should we talk Fear first, or should we talk Walking Dead first?
Maybe we should talk Walking Dead first. Let's go chronologically, which is the point.
Eat the meat, then we can have our pudding.
Yes. So All Out War, that happened really quickly.
Finished.
Very quickly. They started having like the happy music. And I thought to myself, I think I'm only halfway through the episode. I feel like I've only been watching it for about 20 minutes. And I thought, something bad's going to obviously go wrong at the end. But I did like Rosita doing the Eugene punch, punching him.
Can we give Eugene some props?
Yeah, finally.
Because I've never doubted him from the start.
I was just getting, not bored of him, I was just missing the old Eugene.
Yeah, we just wanted a funny guy back.
Yeah, exactly. We were really missing it. And he's back. He's hurt Negan's hand and a whole lot of saviors' hands. In fact, all of those saviors, I believe, are no longer with us.
There's plenty of them that had their faces blown off by holding a rifle up to their face.
That's right. Exactly. They obviously wanted us to think Negan was going to die immediately, but didn't. Now, that huge herd of walkers.
Yes.
Potentially could be Whisperers in there.
It could be set up for next season, but on the other hand, it might just be something, a threat that they deal with, because there's clearly going to be a time jump before the next season.
Yeah.
They're not going to pick it up. Next, we're going to see Maggie with a toddler. I don't think they'll just skip to baby. I think, look, in the comics, after this event happened, there was I think it was meant to be 20-month time skip forward, and that's why we had that weirdo woman give over the book and things
She's
like that.
Here's a book teaching you how to build things.
And just so happened that savior that's got dreamy eyes for Maggie.
I really like building stuff, Maggie. I'm going to stay here and build it for you. Her face was whatever. She wasn't too impressed.
You can hang around here if you want. I might not.
Exactly.
We still don't know if she's got her
contract
sorted.
That's right.
I thought it was a very interesting choice to have her, Daryl, and Jesus. I say interesting, I mean more dumb as fuck.
What was that about?
I can understand her being angry.
What was Daryl angry about? Where was Jesus?
Daryl just went into the forest and let Dwight go.
Yeah.
Showed mercy.
That's right.
And Jesus is Mr. Don't kill. Hey, Morgan, turn your stick around. That's some great... Oh.
Oh, okay.
Morgan looked like no one had ever suggested that to him before. Wait, this has two... They're different ends?
Even though I built it myself, whittled it. A strange move. And I think it was her. Yeah, she was the one that said, we won't do anything about it yet.
We're going to bide our time.
Oh, we're super angry with Michonne as well. I'm like, hang on a second. Why are you angry with Michonne? Is this that Michonne by...
Michonne held her back. I know.
People always hold people back in that situation in movies and TV shows. Has Maggie never watched a television show before?
Do you reckon season 9 is going to, the show is going to be called The Walking Dead featuring Sadiq? Because they're really pushing Sadiq.
They really want him to be a thing.
Yeah. Stop trying to make Sadiq happen.
We're not yet. He can be a periphery.
He's not there yet.
He's not even as interesting as Gabriel.
Gabriel got some good moments.
He had stuff and things going on.
Well, I may be blind, but I could still roll.
Right.
I think that wasn't even his lamest attempt at getting away. I think he's had other attempts that have gone more feeble than that.
Yeah, he's just Gabriel.
Are we meant to interpret that as the... I don't know. I think they were trying to push the idea that he was just trying to sway Eugene one last time. Mm. But Eugene had clearly already been swayed. He'd fixed up them bullets.
Yeah, exactly. Dwight, is he going to come back if he's such a huge character in the comic book?
He better.
Because Daryl's not going to be happy at all. Daryl said, I'm going to kill you. Go find her. Go find her. Yeah, I don't know what that turnabout was other than perhaps that being... the whole Maggie... Jesus and Daryl thing, other than that being the twist at the end to draw us back into watching it next season. Why are they the antagonists now?
I do not know. I found it very odd.
But then we went straight in. Well, you had a palate cleanser, but we went straight into Fear the Walking Dead. Definitely worthwhile watching back to back, because I assumed the whole way through, the build up and learning that Morgan was going to be the crossover character, that it was going to be between the beginning of season one of The Walking Dead and then back to when we see Morgan again. I thought he was going to end up in Fear the Walking Dead. I thought that was the time frame. No, the time frame happens literally after the last episode of this Walking Dead.
Yep.
So they have jumped a couple of years?
Yeah, I'm guessing 2.5 to 3 years.
In Fear the Walking Dead. Yeah.
So we've got no ramifications from the dam blowing up.
We do not know anything.
We know that four characters survived. And
yes.
That's it so far.
Pretty much.
I mean, look, if you've watched some trailers and stuff, you can guess some others that have.
Yes.
But we saw four and they look to be rabid and... bad guys.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is great because they've talked a lot about that it could be about watching Madison's fall and becoming the villain. If they go that way, it's going to make the show so much more interesting.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't know about you, but this episode of Fear the Walking Dead with Morgan gave me the feeling of the original Walking Dead. And the cinematography, the fact that it wasn't black and white, but it was colourless.
Mm-hmm. It was very muted throughout.
Yeah.
They drained a lot of the colour out.
Drained, that's the perfect word. I loved it.
I really enjoyed what was probably maybe two and a half minutes of just feet and cars, tyres bursting, this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Just showed such a cool progression because he crossed, I think, more than 1,000 miles.
So DC to Texas.
Yeah.
It's a long way.
It's a long way.
It's a big continent.
And, I think part of it as well might be is that Walking Dead, we haven't seen anyone in the move for so long because we've had the 2-year all-out war.
And the build-up.
And then we were in Alexandria for a good year before then. So it's been a while since we've had people scavenging on the road.
Because that's what it's about. I think that is what the interest of a zombie apocalypse is. Survival.
Well, look, that's what I'm hoping is that with this season they can go further down that path of just being about survival and turning bad if you need to.
Mm.
And go all in on the bad element in the way that Walking Dead wouldn't. And then when Walking Dead comes back, that it's about having reestablished society and trying to bring something back. So they've moved past survival and stuff like that, and it's that it's not just a tiny community. They've actually got life.
Both of them are bringing two separate aspects of the world. Because I know that in both of them, it appears often that society can't build itself up again. It cannot build itself up again. But what if that was just regional? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if people from Paris have actually made a mini Paris in the middle of Paris? If they've started with a government again, it's not just a dictatorship or
In Walking Dead comic, the current storyline is called New World Order, and they've been discovered by a community that's got more than 50,000 members, and it's
right.
a full city.
Yeah, right.
With, like a proper class system
it's all
hierarchy.
Working. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, that could be where Walking Dead goes, and Fear the Walking Dead, that more than any other episode of that show, has drawn me in.
Oh, and those two new characters are really compelling.
I'm interested
a
in
a journalist
them.
Who looks to have hijacked SWAT material.
Amazing.
And if you notice, she asks questions constantly, and just like Morgan, she never really answers shit.
I do not know a single thing about her.
She didn't reveal. Any time she was asked stuff, she deflected with another question and brought it back to them.
Actually, talk about bringing back. There was a little point I wanted to make about the original Fear the Walking Dead characters potentially looking like or will be turning bad.
Yes.
Yet Morgan spoke to Rick at the end of this season about the bad stuff that they had done, particularly with the saviors that ran off.
Yeah.
So he's going to be coming from that angle.
Yep.
I don't want to turn bad again. He doesn't want to get involved. It seems it's almost impossible not to get involved in bad stuff in this world because you need
Agreed.
People and people need to do bad things in order to survive. So, yeah, it set up the season so that I am intrigued.
And that gunslinger.
I know.
Oh, Garrett
John Dillahunt. Dory.
I'm happy anytime Dillahunt appears in anything. And within 30 seconds, he had just owned that show. And he's such a great actor. It elevated Fear past what had been in the past. It made me just lean forward and go, shit, they've got a really good actor now.
Mm.
They've given him an interesting character. It looks like he gets to chew a lot of scenery with that accent.
Yes.
He's like,
yes.
How have we not had a goddamn gunslinger on either show yet? Someone who's that proficient with the...
Yeah, they definitely showed whole heap of gun-related.
Yeah. I want to know why he's so into candy.
Yes, exactly.
That feels odd.
It does feel odd.
Just the way he says, good job. Here, have a candy. That's the thing. Like, was he a teacher? Or, you know, what was his
role
beforehand?
A different sort of Negan.
And I'm going to make a little prediction.
Okay.
We are going to find his wife slash lover.
Mm-hmm.
He needs his other gun back, whether she's alive or not. If she's alive, I think it'll be Jenna Elfman, who we saw a shot of in the trailer. But we haven't seen anything of her yet.
Yes.
Maybe it's her. Maybe I'm wrong.
Ooh, I like that.
But I will. And the other thing I will just say, the Al, the other girl, you might recognize her, but not know where from. She's Liam Neeson's daughter in the Taken series. And she's also on Lost. She was Shannon, the blonde airhead from the first season and the first eight episodes of season two.
She's one of those actors, isn't she?
She's really good. I've seen her in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And she's great at disappearing into roles. And this, you know.
I like the whole idea of a journalist.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
And
someone who's trying to
really
keep
well.
Stories alive.
Exactly.
That's someone adhering to society rather than just
survival.
Life.
Yeah. Mm, absolutely. Should we get into the quiz?
Yeah.
I was a bit worried because this could have been super hard or super easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've gone down the slightly easy way just so that if you are listening whilst driving or on public transport, you can shout it out.
Sure.
And just sound really odd.
Here, I'm going to take one of my earphones off so I can hear people shouting.
It's called What Movie Won the Actor the Oscar? Male version. So it's just the blokes this week.
Okay.
In the next few weeks, we'll do a female version. Matthew McConaughey. What movie did he win the Oscar for?
Was it the Dallas Buyers Club?
Nice one. Ding!
I wanted to say Wolf of Wall Street, but he was nominated for Best Supporting, I believe.
Yes. He was a great character in that.
All right.
Exactly. Marlon Brando. From the 70s, early 70s, I believe.
Was it Godfather?
Yeah, it was Godfather. Very iconic.
I couldn't remember if it was one or two, but then
It was the first
one,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx.
Ray.
Yeah, Ray, exactly. 2004, I believe.
She take my money.
Best part of a Kanye West song. Colin Firth,
King's Speech,
that's right, with Jeffrey Rush, if you remember. I enjoyed that movie. And this one's super easy, it's not that long ago. Leonardo DiCaprio finally got his Oscar.
Oh, the Revenant. Revenant.
Revenant, otherwise known as the Bear Movie.
The Bear Rape Movie.
Nice work. You got 5 for 5.
Yes. Sorry, listeners. I was listening.
He won. He did harder listening.
Yep.
All right, that's it for this week. Of course, we will be back next week if you want to send us any sort of information. Ravens are always, you're still waiting for that, right?
Always waiting for a raven. I heard we've got a special guest next week.
We do. We've got a special guest, and I believe there is a quiz coming.
Stay tuned, folks. I know. You're not going to believe who this guest is.
You won't believe who it is. Until then, goodbye, Tom.
Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta.
I knew when there was a pause, there was more to come.
I've learned that sometimes pausing leads to authenticity.
Brilliant.